October the 25th, Mr. Fred Sandusky speaking.
Jesus issued an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Kendall, who graduated from Southeastern Seminary in 1962, and who is minister of music at Lakeside Baptist Church in Durham, will sing to us. Gracious Heavenly Fathers, we gather here today in the sanctity of this chapel. We express a deep sense of appreciation and thanksgiving. We thank Thee for the Christ, for His atoning death. And it is our humble prayer that we may adequately understand the atoning death of the Christ, and that we may be about the full giving of ourselves. We thank Thee for the church and for those who have committed themselves to it and have served it through the years. We thank Thee for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, for the vitality of the Christian people who make it possible, for those that serve it and have served it and will continue to serve it. We thank Thee especially for the president of this seminary, the trustees. Grant that they may give us an adequate leadership for this hour. Help there to be a spirit of cooperation among all concerned on throughout the denomination that will enable them to lead us in an adequate fashion. As we gather here in Thy presence this morning, we humbly pray that we may present at all times a Christian countenance. May others see in us love and not hate. May others see in us joy and not sadness. May others see in us hope and not despair. May others see in us faith and not doubt. May others see in us faith and never at any times malice. May we be beyond laziness, selfishness, covetousness, and all those things that so frequently and so easily mar Christian countenances. As we gather here today, may something be said that will strengthen our vision. May we be drawn closer to Thee and help each of us to be challenged to serve to the fullest of which we're capable. These things we ask in Thy name for Christ's sake. Amen.
I shall not want.
I was startled recently by two statements that I read in The Dogma of Christ by Eric Fromm. The first statement, found on page 18, is a quotation from Sigmund Freud. The gods retain their threefold task. They must exorcise the terrors of nature. They must reconcile men to the cruelty of fate, particularly as it is shown in death. And they must compensate them for the sufferings and privations which a civilized life in common has imposed upon them. And then on page 20 we read, to sum up, religion has a threefold function: for all mankind, consolation for the privations exacted by life; for the great majority of men, encouragement to accept emotionally their class situation; and for the dominant minority, relief from guilt feelings caused by the suffering of those whom they oppress. For those who are not committed to Christianity and who do not live within its frame of reference, there is quite a body of evidence to support such statements. Unfortunately, many of us frequently are not aware or alert to such evidence. Michael Harrington, in the book The Other America, presents a rather vivid picture of the poor of the United States. In drawing a summary statistical picture of the other America, he writes, "The poor in America constitute about 25% of the total population. They number somewhere between 40 and 50 million, depending on the criterion of low income that is adopted. The majority of the poor in America are white, although the non-white minorities suffer from the most intense and concentrated impoverishment of any single group. A declining number and percentage of the poor are involved in farm work. And although rural poverty is one of the most important components of the culture of poverty, it does not form its mass basis. In addition to the non-white minorities, the groups at a particular disadvantage are the aged, the migrant workers, the industrial rejects, children, families with a female head, people of low education. These various characteristics of the culture of poverty tend to cluster together. The people who are in this plight are at an enormous physical disadvantage, suffering more from the chronic diseases and having less possibility of treatment. The citizens of the culture of poverty also suffer from more mental and emotional problems than any other group in American society. Most churches have poor people in their membership, but in the main, these people have spent their lives in that community and have been associated for a long period of time with the members of these fellowships. Some are aged, and some have suffered financial or other reverses late in life. You and I are familiar with churches whose members are in the higher income brackets, and in whose memberships there are no migrant workers, industrial rejects, or people without education or professional preparation. On the other hand, some churches are composed altogether of members who are unskilled or semi-skilled laborers who suffer severely in time of economic or personal reverses. It appears to many that the church in general does very little to dispel poverty or alleviate suffering. To many, the church seems to disassociate itself from such conditions. If the church is a class church and has no mission, Christ did not intend it to be such an organization. Christ personally called to him all those who had labored and were heavy laden, and invited them to take his yoke upon them. Christ went himself, day in and day out, to the sick and the poor. He sent his disciples to them and charged that they make no provisions for the journey. The laborer must be worthy of his hire. He commanded and challenged his disciples to feed his sheep, regardless of economic position. Jesus taught that life consists of more than an abundance of material possessions. He told of a rich man whose life on earth was committed to false values and who was tormented eternally by memories of this misspent life and those lost opportunities. A beggar living a parallel life was eternally blessed. Jesus saw the promise for effective kingdom service of those who could manage well. He called a rich young ruler and was saddened because he was not gained for the kingdom of God. Stopping beneath a tree one day, he called to a man of wealth to come down, and he went home with them. As Zacchaeus envisioned the nature of the kingdom and the Christ, he gave half of what he had to the poor and committed himself to this new way of life. There are notable examples in our 20th century of religious groups that have expressed more than consolation for privations exacted by life. I understand that no members of the Mormon Church have been recipients of public relief or welfare. I admire this church for looking after the needs of its members. The Salvation Army has provided food, lodging, and hope for many who had no one else or no place to which to turn for assistance. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing much to meet the physical needs of men through the hospital ministry. Goodwill centers in many cities are carrying on notable ministries. But there are many churches that offer little evidence of compassion for the poor and oppressed. It is to the detriment and should be to the shame of the members of many religious bodies that they apparently have not seen the squalid living conditions of so many people in the American communities. The imprint of inadequate diet upon bodies, the aged faces in which there is so little expression. How unfortunate are church members who have not experienced and do not experience the joy of ministering to the sick, of bringing warmth and happiness to a child or aged person, of being the instrument through which a person, a family, or perhaps a community is uplifted. Dr. Fromm stated, religion has a threefold function. For all mankind, consolation for the privations exacted by life. For the great majority of men, encouragement to accept emotionally their class situation. And for the dominant minority, relief from guilt feelings caused by the suffering of those whom they oppress. There is sufficient insight in this statement to make it heard. This statement, in effect, is saying that the church in many instances is doing nothing but applying salve or ointment on members that want nothing from their religion but approval of a way of personal and community life that is almost devoid of Christ and is anything but what Christ would have it be. My prayer this day is that the churches that you men serve may not be so characterized. May you men of God in your churches have a mission. May you be about the accomplishment of truly Christian purposes and objectives. In your churches, may you minister not only member to member, but may you have an outreaching ministry that will include less fortunate people, and that perhaps will bring about the revolution Christ seeks. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, give us a vision. Give us an insight into what you would have accomplished here in our 20th century. Give us the courage to be about the carrying out of these objectives. This we ask in thy name.